Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This is At The Turn. It's time for discussion and interviews about the world of golf you won't hear anywhere else. Here are your hosts, Nick Heidelberger and Joe Simons.
Hello, hello. Welcome into another episode of At The Turn. Nick and Joe with you, joined by the returning champion. We're going to talk to him about his quest to win the 2024 United States Open Championship, Brian Romey. What's up, buddy?
How's it going? Win? That's a pretty strong... That's pretty strong.
Don't you have a tiger mentality? Why are you entering a golf tournament if you don't think you can win it, Brian?
Well, I got some realizations, right? So it's for okay. Fun. This is definitely.
Actually, on Friday, I was just watching that YouTube clip. I came across an article with that YouTube clip in it with that interview with Curtis Strange. Was it Curtis Strange?
You'll learn. Like,
yeah.
You'll learn. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
what's the point of entering a golf tournament if you don't think you can win it? There's no point, right?
Exactly.
That conversation dated badly, like 2 months afterwards. yes, Brian is going to try to qualify for the United States Open. His, they call it local qualifier, is happening in Pullman a couple weeks. We'll talk about that. And actually, I misintroduced Nick because Nick is looping for Brian. This is very exciting. Nick is going to be carrying the sticks. I think you've walked the course, what, 4 or 5 times, Nick? How many times have you gone out and checked the stent meter out at Palouse Ridge?
Yeah, I'm out there a couple times a week, you know, putting to all the possible pin locations, getting reads, taking notes. That yardage book is filling up pretty quickly with all these notes. So, yeah,
that's awesome. Thank you. Also, I can't stress that enough for you doing that for me. So I appreciate this.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fun. You know, I don't expect to be giving out any advice, but I can lighten the load and soak in the experience a little bit.
Just, I appreciate that. Yeah.
Nick, you have two jobs. Carry the clubs and count to 14 when you're figuring out what clubs he has in his bag. Yeah. We don't need no Ian Woosnam's where he has 15 clubs. You'll find that on the third hole. Let's not do that.
I'll take the lefty one out of the bag, you know, in case I get behind a tree.
Oh, that reminds me. I have to ask you something off the pod, Nick, about lefty clubs. So keep that in mind.
Okay. I can't wait.
Awesome. Can't wait. A reminder to please rate and review At The Turn. Let us know what you think about the show, or don't. Just give us 5 stars. You can rate the podcast without reviewing it, and I'm told that helps just the same. It's very simple. Click 5 stars, or if you're that one asshole, 1 star, and just let us know what you think. You know, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, just give us 5 stars, even 4. We'll take a 4, you know? We're not picky. It's time for the Handicap Report. It's brought to you by Blue Tees. Use promo code TURN at checkout for incredible savings off incredible rangefinders. Nick, you use Blue Tees.
I do use Blue Tees. I use the Ringer handheld GPS. I got a nice little magnet that goes on my push cart. So it's almost like having like a GPS for your car. It's just stuck on my cart and it just goes with me. It constantly updates. It's very cool. It's very nifty.
Get incredible savings with promo code TURN at checkout. I'm stuck at a 9.7. I'm not a 10. Romy finds my handicap hilarious. He thinks I'm sandbagging.
You are. You told, because you're the only guy I've ever met that's going to go shoot 65 at like U of I and then be like, yeah, you know, I was in the rainy Portland area and you're going to. Drinking too much of your buddies, you know.
you basically have summed up my 2024 in golf so far. I'm lucid for 6 holes and I play really well. Otherwise, it's just a big mess.
I mean, can we just talk about the moment that just happened that Romy is accusing Joe of being a sandbagger? I find this to be
how am I? Okay.
No, that was happening in the text chain, and I don't take any offense to it. I would love.
No.
I would love to get my handicap below a 5. There's nothing I would enjoy more, but I go to the golf course, I hit the ball into the hole, I write down how long it took, and I put that into a computer, and it tells me I'm a 9.7. So I don't really know what else to do besides that. It's unfortunate. Trust me, I'm more perplexed by it than you are, Brian. Trust me when I say that.
You're a great golfer. You strike the ball. I mean, you win long drive. You outdrive me all the time. So you're obviously closer than I am on every second shot. So
that's true. I have no excuse. Clearly, it's yeah. The iron game that is holding me back. I just need a hot putter. Give me a hot putter. We'll see what happens. That's enough about my handicap. Nick, what's going on with you?
You know how your gin app tells you what your lowest handicap in the last 12 months has been? Mine was rapidly approaching. Like it was like sometime, like my low index of the last 12 months was like sometime in May or June. I have reset the bar. It's just, I hate saying this. I'm a 21.0. My handicap has gone down again. I've officially shaved 3.5 strokes off my index. But it's sad to say that it's been a year since I've been even a 21 or even like a 20 point anything. But I am moving in the right direction. Just keep hitting those low 90 scores at U of I, and I'm gonna keep chipping away at this thing. I still got a few big numbers that are still counting towards my 8 that I can wipe out of there pretty easily.
Gotcha. I love that. Romes, where are you right now, buddy?
0.2.
Woo! Yeah.
I know.
Chase and scratch.
Wait, what 0.2?
What
0.2?
Zero. 0.
There you go. You got to get that 0 in there. No. In the handicap report, we don't get to say 0 very often.
His number started with point. That was the first number, was point.
I was trying to explain to my wife what the plus meant. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, this guy's like a plus 3. How did he get into this tournament? I'm like, no, he's like better than the golf course. Like, I don't know how you could describe
well,
that.
Well, now, wait a minute. Your wife was a high-level tennis player. So yeah.
Lefty,
they have,
also Nick. There you go.
There you go. Now, they have some sort of rating system for tennis. So do you understand the tennis rating system better than she understands the golf handicap system?
Probably. Yeah, with the 5-0, 3-5, 3-0 players and stuff.
Look at that. See, I'm very I just learned about that recently.
I just learned there was a
pickleball
system.
Pickleball kind of goes the same thing, too, yeah.
They have pickleball rankings.
Yeah.
Is she like a pro at pickleball? Is she into that? Or
no,
she
she's just getting started into that, though. She's having a lot of fun with it. But she's probably a 4-5 to 5-0 pickleball player, and I'm probably 3-5, I would guess. So
I would assume the higher number is better in this, right?
Yes. It's the opposite of golf. Yeah, exactly.
I got it. There's the confusion. Well,
all these pickleball players out here listening to this podcast thinking I'm the best player here, which I love. I'll relish that for a minute. This guy's a 21. Oh my God. It's off the scale.
Brian, one thing I'm curious about, because we have gotten a little bit of feedback from Mark, actually. Hi, Mark. Thanks for listening from the Corner Club Open. He said he agrees about the 9-holers. He says the 9-holers are all jobbed up and it's affecting everybody's handicap that he sees so far in the tournament. I assume 9-holers haven't affected your handicap adversely. I hypothesized that it may work the opposite for you as someone who is a round scratch. If you have a 9-hole handicap, the second 9 that is essentially attached to it by using the algorithm would make it better because your handicap is so low. Is that what you found, or is it not really made a difference?
So the I don't know. That's a tough one because I only play 9 holes most of the time during the week. I'll play like one full round during the week, but I'm always kind of honestly always on the same golf course. So I'm right around like under or 2 over every time. When they combine those two together, that course honestly doesn't really adversely affect my gin because they pretty much that score drops off half the time. I don't go a lot of the high, like 5-6 over or something on that course just because I'm so used to it. We did our very first one this last week and it was like 1 under. So I'm not expecting that to do anything because the rating and slope on that course is pretty easy.
This is like, Nick, when you're talking with someone who's very wealthy and you ask if their paycheck has hit their bank account and they're like, I don't notice. Me and you are grinding away every friggin' stroke we can in the handicap, and Rome's is like, I don't know. I don't give a shit. I'm gonna shoot 2-3 under par when I play my regular golf course and it's gonna take care of itself.
Yeah, I look at the ratings a lot, though. Like, I try to figure out exactly, like, what I got to kind of get to. So, basically, I'm going out there, and I'm like, 0. should be zero unless I have a bad day and then I know it's going to drop off. So there's going to be the outliers that are, you know, just disappear, I guess. So
I played with a plus in a tournament a couple months ago at my club, and he was given a couple strokes to the course and he birdied the easiest hole and he's like, ugh, net par. And I just wanted to spear tackle him. Like, that was maybe the most annoying comment I'd ever heard anyone make on a golf course, saying net par when you make a birdie. Like, get the fuck
like
out
that
here.
Skin's not going to pay out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Shut up, man. Okay. Well, your handicap is actually the only one that really matters always, but especially for the conversation today. And that is because you are, in fact, attempting to qualify for the 2024 U.S. Open at Pinehurst number 2. We're all very excited for you. So for folks that are not familiar, here's how you do it. First step, Nick and I already disqualified. Handicap has to be 0.4 or lower. And that is where you sit. There's local qualifying all across the world, the country. It's happening everywhere, baby. You're playing at Palouse Ridge in Pullman, Washington. That is right across the border from Moscow, Idaho, if you're not familiar. 83 players for 4 spots. After Brian is the medalist at that, he can do final qualifying in either Japan, England, Canada, or one of 10 U.S. sites on Monday, June 3rd. The biggest flex you could possibly do, Brian, is get one of those 4 spots and say, sorry, babe, I'm going to go to Japan to try to qualify.
Yeah, that'll work open. Real well. No, they actually, I'm signed up for doing Texas, California, and then Oregon. You have to sign up as Texas as the next option. Like when I was filling out the paperwork, I'm not sure why, didn't really dive that deep into it, but I'm probably staying in the States. Yeah.
So it's like the NCAA bracket where, like, if you advance, it's already predetermined where you're going to go.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so interesting because I looked at the sites and there's one in Central Oregon. You can play Pronghorn, which is in Bend. It's like a fun Nicholas course. Like, nice. Yeah, that would be sick. I'd love to go down there with you, but I'm not going to Texas, dude. I like you, but, you know, it's... So
go get some barbecue? No.
Exactly. So it, like, defaults when you're in the sign-up portal to Texas. You didn't have an option to basically say, well,
the
this
first
one's
choice.
Geographically...
Yeah.
Oh, that's so crazy.
So
okay.
It, what it did is it actually said, I have to choose Texas as my first choice if I want to have something in my area. So if I don't want to have to travel across the country, I had to choose Texas as the first option. Probably when that fills up, then it goes second and third. And I think my second was Oregon. California was third. It was just interesting. I'm assuming they probably do that by demographic, like Nick was saying, just for the, you know, the pool and stuff that way.
Well, I have a million questions I want to ask you, and I'm just going to start with this. Who's the most famous person in your local qualifier? Like, are there any?
Yeah.
Like, decorated amateurs.
So I made a very couple big mistakes. I actually played my practice round already.
I want to hear
get
about
in
that
there.
Too.
This is kind of a fun story. I don't want to take up too much time doing this, but
it's a podcast. Take up all the time.
All right. So we get there, and I'm first asking the questions that I'm like, okay, the only thing I'm familiar with, I'm like, okay, has a little yardage book come out yet? Do you guys have it? Because they print one off for everybody that shows the slope, so you don't have to use slope on your rangefinder because you can't. And he says, no. They haven't decided that yet. The head of the running this tournament is not here today. And I'm like, okay, you usually get it 2 days beforehand. So I'm like, okay, am I here early for a practice round? He's like, most people usually do it a little closer to the tournament. I'm like, okay, first problem number one. Right. And they said, sometimes they'll go out there with spray paint and they'll actually mark where the holes are going to be a couple days ahead of place. So that's why everybody's doing their practice round. They know where the pin's going to be. I don't know that information. So inexperience level number one, right? then we get in there and he's like, your round's covered for this, but you can't carry, you have to walk, right? So Martinick's with me, another buddy, Cody, who's from Spokane. So they both get individual carts. This is mistake number two, because I'm going to have to keep up with these guys now. I'm walking on a really long course. And then we're just talking. Yeah, we're exactly. And then we're talking in the pro shop and the guy's like, well, what time are you playing? I'm like, I think it's like 8:20, and he looks on the score sheet and then he's like, oh, that's cool. Luke Kwan's in front of you. I'm like, who the hell is Luke Kwan?
Oh, wow.
Didn't think about this till later.
I know that.
Apparently
name.
He's a good guy. Good
he
guy.
He is.
Yeah. And he's won about $900,000 on the PGA. So it's like, okay, like mistake number two, shouldn't be probably looking these guys up. I'm already starting to realize pretty fast that, like, okay, there's some ranked 3,000th in the world. There's another 16-year-old that I'm going to be playing with that's some phenom. And I'm like, this is going to be interesting. So kind of worked myself up a little bit off of that. But yeah, it was super cool. Just they knew who was on there. I had no idea who Luquan was. But yeah, I guess he was a good guy.
He was ahead of you during your practice round or he's ahead of me. Round?
Yeah, in a competitive round, he's going to be ahead of me. But
so we'll be hitting more shots at him.
Yeah, 100%. I'm going to be trying to hit him in the leg or something and get it on YouTube. You know?
Nick, just make little cracks like Bob Does Sports is better, shit like that, you know?
Yeah.
Start the YouTube wars.
Well, I wonder if he's going to have a film crew, this... right? So that's the other fun part.
Better not. There was this, the Myrtle Beach Classic or whatever. They had like the celebrity, Monday Q. Yeah.
The influencers.
The influencers. I got the email about like all these people and the whole press release about this. I didn't know who any of these guys were. I didn't know who Luquan was. I didn't know who Bob Does Sports was. I literally had to look up
Fat Perez,
Bob Does Sports. Yeah. Fat Perez. I'm like, there's a guy named Fat Perez. Like this
great
is
swing,
a
by
YouTube
the way.
Guy. He's a Fat good, Perez is in swing. Like, cause they're like, all these guys are like legitimate players. I think they were all like scratch or better or like one handicaps or better. Like the only person I'd heard of was Dan Rappaport. And so I don't know. I didn't know who any of these YouTube influences are. I just watched like the YouTube stuff I watch is not their stuff. Let's just put it that way.
Rums, I watch some of this. Like I enjoy some of those. Like I get the energy level. It's more relatable when those guys are trying to make it or like hitting shots with their buddies or talking a bunch of crap to each other. Like that's super relatable. I have fun with those. But I didn't know who Luquan was. Yeah, that was
well. It's easier said than done, but you've had to have played in enough tournaments and seen guys that are quote unquote really good players hang a huge number on the board before, right? I mean, just because Luquan has had success before doesn't mean he can't shoot 84 in the qualifier, right? I mean, I get that it's really tough to like actually think that way as opposed to just saying it out loud and trying to speak it into existence, but you must have experience with that, don't you?
Yeah, local stuff. I've seen it. Yeah. I've seen a couple guys come in as pluses and shoot 80. Whether they're injured, working on some stuff, like just got a lesson, just like everybody else, who knows? But that was another conversation in the pro shop, and I was joking with him. It says, hopefully I don't come embarrass myself. He's like, yeah, hopefully you don't get one of the letters. I'm like, what letter? I'm like, well, apparently the USGA can tell you, like, hey, you shot 10 strokes over your handicap. There's warning one. You do it again, you're not invited back. And I'm like, oh, there's another little lovely piece of stress I got to think about.
Oh, my God.
You don't even got to worry about that. That's
I know.
Like,
but I'm like, this is layers of stuff that are happening.
I would frame that letter. That would be like next to my hole-in-one flag that I stole from a golf course right here.
Yeah, exactly.
My letter from the USGA saying, hey, dipshit, stay out of our events if you're going to shoot 98.
Next to the Simons Avenue on the wall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it'll just be in the background here. So your practice round.
Oh man, that was brutal.
You said you made a few faux pas, but how was the golf? I mean, you like this golf course. This golf course suits your game. I mean, is this sort of topography that you are used to playing on?
So we get there and it's 20 mile an hour winds. It's
perfect.
About 60 degrees overcast. My bag is attached to Martinick's bag. That was already a mistake.
He's driving with your bag?
Yeah, he's driving with my bag, and I'm trying to keep up with these guys. And right off the bat, it's 7,100 yards. I'm out of shape. I'm like, it was a very revealing experience, honestly. I had a plan, just like Mike Tyson says, you have a plan until you get punched in the face. But I go out there, and Martinick is obviously, I'm following them along. They didn't decide to play the blue tees that day, which was even more fun for me. Nice little extra torture. They were 1,200 yards in front of me all day. So
what are they doing? That's ridiculous.
Know. Yeah. So it was kind of like, okay, so I'm hitting, trying to keep up, like literally walking, trying to not get hit by them to make sure I can catch up to their golf ball. And then Martinick is the whole day is like parking on hills. So I have to like go up to go get like a club. And I'm like, doctor, would you please help me out? They're like, you're killing me.
I love that you call him doctor in that moment.
It's like, come on, man. It's like he'd park up by one of those little bowl holes and he'd park and the golf cart is literally above my head.
Well, like, Romy, we made a podcast episode about this that I think you should turn your Corner Club Open partner onto. It's, you know, how to drive a golf cart. Martin
needs
that.
Yeah, no kidding.
So if I can just recap real quick. So you are trying to prepare for a U.S. Open qualifier, and these guys are playing different tees from you?
Well, they were, like, with the buddies, we just went there as a round just for fun, and they decided to go at the gray, which is 6,170 yards, and I'm at 7,100 yards.
The short course.
So, of course, they're having the conversation about what iron you hit, and I'm sweating, running over there, trying to get, like, a 6 and a 5 iron. And, like, well, hit that off the face. It was, like, the most uncomfortable experience possible. And I'm like, it can only get better than this. It literally can only get better than this. I had a plan to put stuff in my pocket and, like, take some notes. Mm. I put a pair of pants on, didn't realize I didn't take the little stitching out on the right side. So that pocket's out. I don't know why they do that, by the way. It drives me crazy. So I had, like, do you guys have a pocket knife so I can put a scorecard on the right side? It was just everything was like, this is ridiculous. Like, I felt like I didn't show up the right time because I'm not 2 days before the tournament. I'm trying to keep up with some friends who just are oblivious. They're playing their own golf. And I'm like running, like literally running. Well, I'm not trying to discourage Nick from doing this, but.
No, and for folks that are listening, just for some context, Romy doesn't live down the street from this course. It's a solid, 90-minute plus drive from Spokane to Pullman. Yeah, so it's you have to plan it a little bit. You have a job and a family and these sorts of things. So, you know, I can't believe
it was
pretty
bad. They
play different tees. That's so goddamn funny.
We had 100 yards different on a par 5. Like, straight up 100 yards different on a par
10?
5. Yeah. Yeah. I was 626. They were, I'm going to even look. They're like 560. Like, it was just like, are you kidding me? That's 80 yards. But yeah, some of the par 3s were 70 yards ahead of me. I'm like, this is ridiculous. So
what, I mean, now that you have the practice round, it sounds like you were faced with probably the hardest conditions that you possibly could mentally, physically. The weather wasn't working out. They're giving you shit in the clubhouse, you know, so all this stuff is kind of not working against you in some like sort of interesting way. Do you feel like that sort of works to your advantage, or do you feel
it freaked me out. I realized like how unprepared I was in a sense. You know, I got home and my wife's like, how was your round? I'm like, not great. So, like, and that's when I looked up who Luke Kwan was. And I'm like, great. I'm like, okay, this guy's ranked 3,000th in the world. I know a couple guys local. One guy was at Gonzaga. He's now a pro, like in Arizona. Andrew Van Lasso. I mean, he's another guy that's local that I think the last year's U.S. Open, he beat like the number one trying to do a qualifying. I mean, it's like these guys I legitimately am not going to beat unless like lightning strikes kind of thing. And it's everything's got to be firing. You know, lost a couple golf balls. It was just nothing felt comfortable. And that's probably awesome for the fact that I was fatigued, uncomfortable the whole day. And I'm like, I'm no joke can say it's not going to get worse than this. It's really not going to get worse than this.
It's good. It's good to get your attention to.
Yeah.
To
no kidding.
Draw your attention to some of the things that you should have a light shined on.
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing is an experience level is like, everybody forgets about that. If you've never done this stuff before, the guy's like, oh yeah, you scheduled your practice round. When? I do mine like 2 days before the event. So I can see where the pins are going to be placed and get me a little book and the weather's more similar than it's going to be. It's like, okay, that's just the inexperience of like me being Joe Schmo. No, excuse me. Sorry, Joe.
I take no offense when people say Joe Schmo or average Joe.
Okay.
I'm dealing with that my whole life. It's absolutely
sorry, my
fine.
Bad.
No. Honestly, I really don't care.
Throwing a bad lefty joke in there and I got everybody.
So, like, okay, obviously I was giving you shit when we first came on about winning for the U.S. Open or, like, you know, qualifying in earnest. This is, I mean, it's an incredible accomplishment to get your handicap to a point where you're eligible to play in this tournament. So that in itself is an accomplishment. With that being said, and the calamity that was the practice round, like, how do you view this experience? Like, do you have a target score? Is just posting something going to be, or are you just trying to take this all as an experience of, like, this is really cool. Like, I can try this again in the future. Maybe when I hit 50, I can try to do the senior U.S. Open. I can try to do this again. Like, how do you view this in context of, like, how seriously you're taking the number you post versus what you are hoping this means in terms of the rest of your golfing life?
I think first I look at this as, like, I don't want to embarrass myself That's like, honestly, that's the first thing is like, okay, I got into this. I'm realizing the inexperience from being this. I didn't play college golf, so that's a big part of that too. But if I'm weighing it to everything else, it's really just comparing myself to, do I have a inflated ego that I maybe need to dial down a little bit? Am I beating some of the local guys, but I can't touch a college player, right? So it's just that kind of stuff. I don't think it really has much to do with like my progressive career. Like, I don't think it's going to put me anything more eligible to, you know, some other tournaments. It's cool to do this. I don't know if the handicap's going to drop. Like, maybe it's plus one next year because there's so many good players out there now. Everybody's got, you know, new gear and swing coaches, and they're all athletes now playing golf versus what it was before. So it's just, I just embrace it, have fun, and learn a lot from this stuff. Like, see how some of the guys play. They play the hole. I'm going to be outdriven. These guys are straight up athletes or have YouTube channels or getting paid, right? I'm a guy that's local that's just trying to have fun with this. So I don't know. It's just having fun, honestly. That's all I can really do with that. That's all. The only thing I have control of is my own emotions out there. So it's, don't take too aggressive of lines. That's one thing I learned real fast with the wind, by losing a couple golf balls. But since I have Nick out there calming me down and helping out, being a familiar face at least, you know, that's super helpful.
So. Nick, what is your plan out there, buddy? I'm really curious. Like,
ditching
what are you
me
doing?
Like an hour beforehand and being like,
yeah, no, my,
you're
my
on your
plan,
own.
No, my plan is to carry the bag, to make things easier for Romy, to basically keep my mouth shut for the most part, and not. One of my biggest goals is to not have any like huge faux pas with the flagstick. Like, I know I'm gonna, like, it's gonna be clearly my responsibility to like take this thing and move out of somebody's line, and like Romy will be in the hole and I should be the bearer of the flagstick, and someone's gonna have like a 3-footer and the flagstick is gonna be right in the way and I'm gonna be like standing over there just like looking at somebody. No, I'm just gonna try to stay out of the way, keep the clubs clean, keep you know, the bag on my shoulders, and just kind of soak it in. You know, I think it'll be fun for me to see how people who are playing for something very serious, something that they've worked really hard for a long time, how they approach that, how they put rounds together. You know, you don't have to, you can't win it in one stroke or one hole, but you can kind of lose it and kind of just see how they approach bad breaks and things like that. And just kind of take it all in.
What about bunker raking? Because it's going to be on
you.
I'm
not going to be any bunkers. I'm not in and in a bunker all day. That's not going to happen.
Well, Nick is a very courteous caddy, and Luke Kwan has keep dumps in bunkers all day, and Nick is going to rake them. He's not
their caddy. They're on their own. Like, no, Nick's with me.
I'm being serious though. Like, there is a special technique to rake bunkers. Like, have you watched a YouTube video, Nick? Are you concerned with that at all? How do you view your bunker raking in general?
It's fine. It's average. It's not gonna embarrass me. Here's the thing with that. Yes, there is a like professional technique to raking the bunkers. I don't want to take myself so seriously that I'm like so worried about my technique. I'd rather rake it like not the like most professional way possible, but be out there raking it and just doing my thing, than like be too stressed about it. I think I know there's like a technique to use in the flat side and the pronged side, and you know, kind of the way you leave it. I'll do my thing. I'll you know what I mean? I'm not going to worry too much about it. It'll be all good. Nobody's going to be like, hey, you raked this bunker, but I would have preferred you did it a little bit differently. Like, you know what? I'm okay with that. If that's the biggest critique I get, it's a win.
Well, please do me a favor and don't touch the sand. Isn't that, what's the amateur that his caddy got him some strokes? You heard about
that? Is that right?
Yeah, so it's like that was the testing of the sand or whatever. Like, yeah, just don't touch anything, I guess.
Yeah, the last thing I want to do is like is do anything strokes that would incur a penalty on Romy.
Yeah,
and the really last thing I want to do is do that, and it bumps him from like in to out. But that's a risk that Romy took on when he
exactly, you know, right?
So it's really his fault. If I do anything like that, it's really his fault for having me. So
now I have a couple more questions for both of you. Romy, this one's for you. I don't want you pulling a Matt Kuchar. What's Nick's cut if you cash in the U.S. Open? What's the percentage?
He can have 50% of me not winning anything because I'm an amateur.
Oh, by God, you are an amateur. That's right. Yeah.
So I would get big old. I mean, we could sell the story to YouTube or something.
Make it 60% and you got a deal.
Yeah.
Okay. Over under 5 hours, 45 minutes for this round.
Under. It should be.
Under, for sure. 5:45.
Yeah, it should be.
That's
crazy. We're playing in groups of three also.
Oh, you're playing in threesomes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll say
pace up. Yeah.
5 hours. Over under 5 hours.
Under. Should be.
I'd take the over.
Okay. I'm curious. When is your tee time, Brian?
8:20. I should probably look that up again. It could change. You don't know if some people drop out or something. There's a lot of variables, but yeah.
Now, are you two going to employ the Romeo and Roy McAvoy tactic of getting shit-faced the night before because Brian plays better hungover?
I don't play better hungover. And I'm getting older now. I don't know what it takes to get me hungover. So
I know less and less as
well,
the days
go on.
Well,
I can tell you this. On. I've never caddied well sober. So
oh, yeah. Yoo-hoos and chocolate milks. That's what we're going with.
Romy, anything else that you want to touch on about this experience or just sort of how you're feeling? I'm really excited to talk to you guys after this happens. Get the full debrief, the play-by-play, what Luke Kwan smelled like, the whole thing.
You know, I'm happy to recap also afterwards. Yeah, because I love being transparent with this stuff. You know, I am just – I consider myself a good golfer, but I knew I'm definitely not the elite level yet. So it's fun to do this. It's amazing to see those guys, also their rhythm and tempo. Like, it's even – if take away anything from watching those guys hit a golf ball, I even did a practice session with a bunch of the guys from the Gonzaga team. And this is after my little bit of freak out, and my golf ball did not sound like theirs coming off the club face. It had this like, psh, like just pure hit noise. And I'm like, oh, great. So it was like a lot of that, but I'm having fun. I'm trying to do this for fun. Who knows if I got to do this again?
Yeah. I mean, look,
if I'm nervous, it means I care, right?
Exactly. You'd be crazy not to be nervous. You know, if we're the Sandlot, you're definitely the Benny the Jet Rodriguez of the crew. So take that for what it's worth.
Appreciate that.
Nick, any final words of advice? I know you're going to be out there with him, but yeah, what do you got for Brian?
The only advice, I mean, just I know you're going to have a good plan. Just trust your plan and stick to it. I think that's the biggest thing is like, you know, you could make a mistake or a couple mistakes early, but there's plenty of time to come back from that. You don't have to shoot 62. You know what I mean? I think I got some facts coming up here on Nick Rules, but you know, I think if you stick to your plan and you know, it doesn't end up being the score you wanted to post, you'll be happier than if you abort and kind of scramble and hit the panic button, you know, in the middle of the front nine and then things completely fall apart. So, you know, trust your plan, trust your ability, stick to it and we'll have some fun. And the other thing I will say is I'm just going to put this out there right now so I don't get any grief for it later. I reserve the right to wear golf shoes during this round. I know it's standard for caddies to wear like, you know, running shoes or something, but in the move, I only brought like one pair of like shoes that you would walk around in. They're not going to fit the bill for this. I've got 15 pairs of comfortable golf shoes. I'm going to wear golf shoes. I don't care if I get some strange looks. I don't care if anybody gives me a hard time. I'm just putting it out there now. I understand it's not the thing you're supposed to do, and I'm going to do it anyways.
You rocking squares, bro?
Oh, no. That is the worst golf shoe brand out there.
Is that right? Do they suck?
I have no experience with the shoes, but I had at my previous job, we had a partnership with the brand, and they gave away like 10 pairs of shoes to these people who like entered a thing we were doing. And I was the marketing manager, so it was my job to like connect like the winners of this thing who we promised shoes to like get their sizing and their styles. And squares completely ghosted us for 2 years. To the day I left, to the day I quit that job, I was still trying to shake down squares. People were emailing me. We had 10 winners. It was like their kids, like my 8-year-old is asking about these squares shoes, and squares was completely ghosting. So please, if you're listening, do not buy squares shoes. Please go leave negative reviews of squares shoes. That's cold, man, to promise an 8-year-old a brand new pair of golf shoes and they completely ghost them. That's messed up. So I have no goodwill towards squares.
Well,
shoes.
I already have our breakout clip for social media. So thank you so much. We're gonna put this on blast. Hopefully it gets some traction like the Vijay Singh clip did.
That's awesome.
With that, it is now time for, and it's not Nick, our Mad Golfer of the Week, brought to you by Piper Golf. Use promo code TURN10 at checkout for incredible savings off incredible golf balls. By God, we're going to Palouse Ridge Golf Club in Pullman, Washington, home of my alma mater. Two Mad Golfers of the Week with a common thread. The first one is Sophie Bell. Quote, "As an out-of-town country club member, we are used to being treated great by pro shop staff. We were very disappointed in the service at the shop and how we were treated as customers who were buying $200 of merchandise. As much as it pains me to say this, we will not be returning." Anything there?
Those guys are awesome to me. I mean, they're a bunch of college kids behind the counter. I mean, what do you expect?
That's been my reaction. I've never found them to be a dickish there. I actually always liked the staff and think they do a pretty good job.
It's probably like, do you guys have this in a small or medium or large? I'm like, man, whatever we have is on the rack.
Shall not return.
I know. How dare you? You didn't pick it out for me? Yeah, I know.
I will say sometimes these reviews are rather aged. Both of these were from last week. So they are recent.
Oh.
Yes. Very, very, very uncommon that we've had this. This is from Chelsea Meyer, our second Mad Golfer of the Week. Quote, "The pro shop has an employee who is beyond rude and condescending. I put all of my merchandise back and will not be returning. To treat paying costumers with such disrespect is absolutely appalling and unacceptable."
What is that word?
She meant to say customers.
Costumers.
She wrote costumers, which is really funny because technically that isn't wrong because she's buying things for a costume. So... technically, it's not wrong. It's also hilarious. So both Chelsea and Sophie had a negative experience, clearly trying to buy a pile of merch in the pro shop.
I know somebody named Chelsea who married somebody with the last name Mayer. So I'm not saying it's the same person. That person does have roots to this area. I don't know. Could be a coincidence.
Probably the same week, same day. You know, same guy.
I know.
Maybe it was like... he had to go grab the carts by himself and like the other guy got too drunk and ditched him and then he was all pissed off. So he probably wasn't the most friendly. And then these people come in and he's like, you know what? These old ladies have to listen to some more crap about some clothes. You know, I'm defending the pro shop right now for sure. So
congrats, Sophie and Chelsea. You are the Mad Golfers of the Week. And with that, it is now time for Nick Rules, brought to you by Matchstick Golf. Use promo code TURN20 at checkout.
All right, well, Romy's U.S. Open qualifier is coming up, but some are already underway. And so I found one that is the most comparable to what Romy's going to experience. River Landing GC in Wallace, North Carolina. The field there was 84 players for 5 spots. Romy, yours is 83 for 4 spots, which leads me to believe that one more player in your field would give an entire... another spot, like that would be the next tier of 5 spots versus 4. So that's kind of a bummer. Anyways, par 72 on that course. So very similar. The results there, the medalist, anybody care to guess what they shot?
66.
67.
Ooh, close.
And 70 and better got in. The two alternates also shot 70. So a bunch of players shot 70.
Wow.
70 and better got in. 67 was the medalist. So again, you don't have to go completely crazy. 1 under per side might get it done, might get you through.
Yeah, that's crazy.
On the other side of that, 2 players failed to break 90. One of them was a professional. So there's a floor and a ceiling. And the last thing, a fun fact, since 2004, the U.S. Open has averaged 74.2 players in the field who advanced through one or both stages of qualifying. That's pretty crazy.
There was 2 players that didn't break 90? Is that what you got?
Yeah, 2. 1 amateur, 1 pro.
Well, see, but you know... they
did everyone
the
break
pro
100?
Thing, so that's the funny part. My experience is the pro thing is kind of... the guy took his PAT... in 1983, all right, the year, you know, and then he's been a pro for the last 20 years. He's shown that he's been able to get down low once, but then he could be a teaching professional or something. So it's, you can't always put the weight on a pro. There might be a high school kid that comes out and beats him by 25 shots. But
well, that's the thing, yeah. Too, is if you're a pro, there's no handicap requirement. Yeah. So if you're a pro, you don't have to show your ability to shoot.
Yeah, you did. You did your PAT most time, which is like six. Is it like a 145? I think you got to shoot for two rounds, 60 or 75, 76 or something.
So this is like a driving test, basically. Yeah, right. If I'm a professional in 1981, I never have to prove I'm good at golf again.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Oh my god!
You just got to stay eligible. You can do pro-ams. There's a lot of that stuff. Actually, there was a pro-am on Monday down at Palouse Ridge. I got invited to go down, but it's 46 degrees outside and windy. I'm like, I already did that. I'm good for a bit.
Oh, that would have been Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
So, no thanks. The weather's going to be hopefully great for your qualifier. I mean, the weather really appears to be turning in the Pacific Northwest, so I'm very excited about that. That is, would you get through it? That's it, right?
Yeah, I'm done.
Nick rules. I'm very excited for you, Romy. I'm very excited to get the full debrief for the listeners. The schedule the next few weeks. We will do another edition of Underrated, Overrated, Properly Rated for the PGA Championship. Nick will once again identify Scottie Scheffler as the winner. I'll throw out a bunch of reasons why he won't win, and then Nick will be right again. Then we're gonna have our debrief with Brian Romy. And with Nick, we'll get it from the player and the caddy perspective. I'm so excited. Brian, just have fun, buddy. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. If you shoot 86, who gives a shit? You're a 0.2 handicap. You know what I mean?
Minus the listeners, right? But I want all the wives that are listening and hearing about the men complaining about golf. Like, we go through war out there. So when we come home and we're tired and we can't maybe help all the time, we need to take a quick nap. It's a very emotional out there.
What a move. No. Go to the golf course all day. They come home and take a nap.
I'm like, we just played golf. Why are you so tired? I'm like, because looking for golf balls and, I'm just kidding.
The opinions, the opinions of Brian Romy expressed in this podcast are not the opinions of everyone on this podcast.
Exactly. No, I'm
that's why
fun.
You got to do chores. Do chores during the week. That's that's the key to success. If you get them done during the week, your weekends are free.
Yeah, and I make breakfast every time I have a tea time for the wife and family, and I go make pancakes. I'm like, I got a tea time at 10 o'clock.
Obviously, send flowers on a Tuesday. Send flowers on a Tuesday. Yeah,
just because.
Golf tips and love life lessons from Matt the Turn. Everybody, thank you so much for taking part in this edition of the podcast. Brian, good luck. Nick, start practicing your bunker raking.
I'm Lacey Evans. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time at the Turn.